Hello, you're listening to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration comes to us from Colossians chapter 3. I'll read that now. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the word of our God. Rachel and her brother Joey were just doing what kids do on any old Saturday morning, riding their bikes around the neighborhood. Even though the sights didn't change a whole lot, they loved the freedom and the speed of pedaling up and down and all over their neighborhood. Shortly after one of these Saturday morning rides, they rolled up their driveway and saw Mom and Dad monitoring the yard sale that they were running, and a stranger followed them. He wasn't interested in buying anything Mom and Dad were selling. He wanted to talk to Rachel's parents about her and her brother. For a moment, Rachel panicked. She didn't know this man, but she was certain that they had been careful not to cross any busy streets without looking twice or ride in anybody's flower beds. What could this stranger need to speak to her parents about? After they chatted a bit, the stranger walked up to her brother. "Son, let me show you something real important," he said. He curled four fingers in the palm of his right hand and sharply bumped Joey's helmet. Shifted backwards from the impact. Joey was more stunned than stung. "You got the right idea in wearing your helmet," he explained, "but you got to have it on the right way or it's not going to do a lick of good when you really need it. I just don't want to see you getting hurt." Now, even though Rachel and her family had never met this man before, what he said resonated. They listened intently as he subsequently showed them how to adjust those Y straps on the sides of their helmets, so that they actually fit right. And after that, every time Rachel and Joey went to the garage to go for a bike ride, Mom and Dad would gently remind them to make sure that they had tightened their helmets correctly. Now, a stranger giving somebody unsolicited advice sounds like the kind of thing that doesn't happen much anymore. When it does, it usually goes poorly. In fact, we don't always react well when strangers tell us we're not doing something that well at all. But it's good for us if we slow down for a moment and remember that a complete stranger most likely is only going to give us that kind of direction if what they have to tell us is really important. That's kind of what's going on in our reading from Colossians today. Paul had never visited the Colossians in person before. He'd only heard of their faith, likely from his dear friend Epaphras. And the Colossians had heard of Paul, but they didn't know him personally. To some degree, he was a stranger, giving them some much-needed and very helpful guidance. So what does he say? Well, in this chapter, he reminds them to set their hearts on things above, where Christ is, to set their minds on things above, not on earthly things, to put to death the desires of their earthly nature and put on the new self, to clothe themselves with Christ-like virtues like compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, to rid themselves of loveless actions and attitudes and instead be renewed in the image of their Creator. Now, Paul's guidance here is pretty straightforward. He reminds the Colossians, hey, you used to live in a way that deserved the wrath of God, but Christ changed all that. Christ is your life. So your heart, your mind, and your life should be Christ-centered. Now, there's nothing that Paul forbids and nothing that he commands that strikes us as strange. We might have some questions about the difference between anger, rage, and malice. We might wonder why Paul says that greed is idolatry. We might even be a little curious as to who a Scythian actually is, but Paul's point is pretty clear. And yet it's something that we still need to hear, because many times we put on the new self the way that kids do bike helmets. We know our Heavenly Father wants us to wear it, but why? We're not quite so sure. So we put it on to placate others, not to preserve our lives. Putting on the new self is really the flip side of that putting to death the sinful nature coin. The old self and its practices are hostile to the new self, but at times we try and get them to just get along together. Now, we look at what Paul says to put to death. Things like sex and greed, dishonest speech, passionate anger. We recognize these things are not ideal, but we wonder if they're really such a big deal. See, we don't engage in tawdry affairs, right? But we do binge watch them on TV. We may not march in our local pride parades, but we do lack the courage to tell our friends and family that their homosexuality is actually a sin. We may not ogle impure images online, but we're somewhat relieved to let that same society, the one that spends billions on pornography, teach our kids and grandkids about the nature and purpose of sex. We get too self-conscious and flustered anyway talking about those kinds of things. We may recognize that we have our moments of greed and anger, but we don't really see them as dangerous. It's remarkable how quick we are to complain. We forget about the bevy of blessings that God has given to each of us, and instead we bellyache about all the challenges that they come with. We think our anger is not such a big deal. It's like a campfire hemmed in by a ring of stones that we've gathered. We don't understand that our anger is much more like a flash of lightning. We don't know when or where or even why it flashes, but it does. The storm clouds of our hearts and minds produce these flashes of anger. It's hard to predict. It's impossible for us to rein in. We struggle with our anger. We internalize disappointment, stress, anxiety, then we lash out at those who just happen to be around. So easily we get annoyed, we're hypercritical and testy, we're nothing like our Creator God. In other moments, our concept of truth is like our view of art, all in the eye of the beholder. We trumpet truth when it makes us feel superior, but we ignore truth when it makes us feel uncomfortable or embarrassed. We keep a laundry list of other people's transgressions, but never deal with our own. We behave in ways that are petty and childish, vindictive and resentful. This is all the attitude and actions of the old self. And there's a part of us that thinks our Heavenly Father should just be happy that we have the new self on at all. Yeah, maybe it's not perfectly tight. Maybe it could use some adjustments, but surely we should get some credit for wearing it at all. Like children, we just don't get it. We don't see the need because we don't fully comprehend the danger that we're facing. What we do see are all those people who are riding around town without a helmet at all. They look like they're having so much more fun with the wind blowing in their hair, and we resent the fact that we have to ride around with sweaty foreheads and a tangled mess of hair. Why can't we be just like them? And this is the root of the old self's immaturity. You see, we've missed the necessity and the blessing of God giving us a new self, much like a child does with their bike helmet. We've missed why a helmet exists at all. A helmet was designed to protect you from irreparable harm. Its aim is to protect your noggin, not to increase your popularity. And the new self has been gifted to you to protect you from falling prey to the practices of the old self. Its aim is to save your soul from wrath, not to increase your popularity. See, it's the new self that dwells within us, that has to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. It is the new self that dwells within us, that removes the old self with its sinful practices from the seat of power. It is the new self which is being renewed in knowledge of the image of its creator. What is this new self? Well, it's nothing less than Christ himself. It is Christ who has given you life. It is Christ who guards your life. It is Christ who guarantees your glory. And that Christ dwells in you. And not just you, all kinds of people. Jesus came for those who thought they were living lives of careful self-discipline like Nicodemus, and those who knew they weren't, like the woman at Jacob's well. Jesus came for those who shared his language like blind Bartimaeus, and those who didn't, like the deaf and mostly mute man from Decapolis. Jesus came as a servant for those who lived as slaves, but he also came to give freedom to those who thought they had been born free. See, this is what Paul is telling us when he tells us Christ is our life. He has earned eternal life for each one of us. He gifts it to us totally out of his undeserved love. And Christ continues to guard that life and guarantee our glory. How does he accomplish these wonderful things? Well, he did so by setting his heart and mind on things above, every step of the way. You see, Jesus recognized the higher purpose of his life. He wasn't called to come down to earth just to show us how to avoid temptation. He delighted in the law of the Lord. He meditated on his Father's will day and night, but his path did not lead to greater popularity or pleasure or earthly glory. It led to condemnation. He came to be put to death for our many sins. Though he had never given in to the temptations of lust or greed or dishonesty, he was treated as if he were a reviled criminal by sinners. The leaders of Israel raged at him. They slandered his name. The Roman soldiers crucified him. Jesus became a curse for us. He endured all this so that we might become God's chosen people. Jesus' holy, precious blood, that's what makes us holy. Not anything that we do. See, God's dearly beloved Son stood as our substitute to redeem us from all unrighteousness, and he now treats us with compassion, with kindness, gentleness, and patience. Our Lord has forgiven us freely and fully. Jesus Christ has gifted you his perfect record and promises you an eternally glorious life with him in heaven. That's why Christ dwells in you, to guard your life. How does he do this? Well, by renewing your mind and purifying your heart. You see, because of God's unmatched grace, you see your life differently, the way that Christ does. The new self that dwells within you, Christ Jesus, is not holding you back from really enjoying life or holding you back from anything good at all. No, the new self is showing you the foolishness of the old self. The old self cannot bring you anything you really need or anything that's actually good for you. The new self, much like a bike helmet, keeps you safe because it keeps you close to God. Now, our obedience cannot save us. But because Christ dwells in us, because we have already been saved, because we have been raised to life with him, we cannot help but strive to live like our Creator and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. God has gifted us this new self through his means of grace. By his word, he's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. By your baptism, that old self was put to death. In your baptism, Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil is your victory. Through baptism, you have been transformed and renewed to delight in God's holy law. And at your baptism, you received greater protection than even a helmet can afford. When you were baptized, you likely received the sign of the cross on your head and your heart to mark you as God's dearly loved child. God still dearly loves you. He still daily protects you. He still only wants what is best for you. So sometimes he sends complete strangers to you to teach you important lessons. Rachel never forgot that stranger's lesson about helmets. Part of the reason was that her parents insisted upon it every time she rode her bike after that. But on that day, she learned what a helmet was designed to do for her. And she passed that lesson on to her kids. Recently, Rachel was renewed in her appreciation for that stranger. Her little 4-year-old girl loved speed and freedom as much as her mom did when she was that age. Her daughter was flying on her scooter when suddenly she learned Newton's first law of motion. An external force, which happened to be a deep groove in the sidewalk, stopped the forward motion of her scooter, but not her forward motion. A little 4-year-old went flying face first into the sidewalk that lay before her. But her head and her face were protected that day. They were hidden underneath the strength of her helmet. What a gift that stranger had given to Rachel. Is the gift that God has given us in baptism any less powerful or precious? Christ has given us life and guards our lives with his holy word, and each of us is called to pass this gift on to the next generation, to model it for young hearts and minds, to explain to them how a life of sanctification isn't always going to be popular. At times, it may feel unpleasant, but it keeps us safe, close to our Savior, who is seated at the right hand of God and will appear again to take us to our eternal glory. So let us set our hearts and our minds on things above and see our lives the way that Christ does. Let us live day by day with our higher purpose as our highest priority, because nothing keeps our souls more secure than a Christ-centered heart, mind, and life. Amen. Thank you for listening to Refreshing Truth. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It was a pleasure to share God's word with you today. If you'd like to join us in a worship service here at River of Life in Goodyear, we worship every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Bible class follows at 10:20. If you'd like to learn more about what our church believes and teaches, I invite you to visit our website, azriveroflife.com, or give me an email or a phone call or a text message. I'd be happy to sit down with you and learn more about your life story so that we can connect you to the one who has come to bring us life to the full. Thank you, and God bless.